This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We invite you to tune in to this station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that your word tells us that our sins can be forgiven. We do live in a society that is laden with guilt, and sometimes we wonder how we can rid ourselves of those terrible feelings brought on by guilt. Your word tells us clearly how this is done. So open our hearts and our minds to listen to what is being said to us on this subject of guilt, and then give us the grace to claim that forgiveness and to live as your children, sinners to be sure, but sinners who are forgiven. This we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends in Christ, how do I live with my guilt when all around me there is a great deal of guilt? That's a very, very important question for those of us especially who bear the name of Jesus Christ. but it may also speak to some of you who do not claim Christ as your Savior and your Lord. How do I live in a culture that lives with a ton of guilt? Isn't that important? Isn't that a relevant question? We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. Now, some of you may say, well, this does not apply to me because I don't have any real guilt. You see, I don't have an ethic of absolutes of rights and wrongs, and that reduces my number of guilts. And then if there are guilts, well, aren't we all that way? That's just the way it goes. It could be called a denial of guilt. That's one of the human ways of dealing with guilt. Another person might say, well, I believe that I'm guilty. I sense it right along. But I know that there is a God, and this God who created me is automatically willing to forgive me. He lets me know that I am his child and the marvelous creation that he has given, and there's no thought of his damning me or punishing me because of what I have done. All people are his children. All people will be saved. It's a kind of a universalism. And then, of course, there's the old idea that, well, if you do more good things than you do bad things, you're going to come out ahead anyway. So we're working our way to heaven. And every rung goes higher, higher. Yes, sir, that's the way salvation will be attained when I have done more good. And I'm a kind, loving, outgoing person. That'll take care of it all. Now, these things all are used by various people, and some of them say they get along with them quite well. But I think we'd have to admit we not only have guilt, but we have a great deal of confusion on how to deal with our guilt. So today I'd like to direct you back to the Word of God. And let's begin with a word from 1 John 1:9. Here the disciple of our Lord says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Go to another passage of Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. In the first passage coming from 1 John 3, we learn that if we will confess our sins, in other words, a part of forgiveness is confession. And God says they must be acknowledged by the sinner and they must be confessed before the throne of grace. Then we turn our thoughts to Jesus, Jesus who died on the cross of Calvary as a payment for our sins, the Lord Jesus who says, trust me and I will forgive you. You see, you not only have John 3:16a, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, but you have John 3:16b, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If I simply say, well, I confess my sins, but I have no faith in Jesus Christ, it might be Buddha or somebody else, there is no forgiveness of sins as far as God's word is concerned. Confession of sin, faith in Jesus Christ brings you peace, brings you salvation. Now let's see how that was one day applied by the Sea of Galilee. The disciples of Jesus were waiting to see what was going to happen next. Pentecost Sunday had come. They were in Galilee. And finally, one of them said, I'm going to go fishing. I believe it was Peter. And some of the others said, I think I'm going to go with you, Peter. It gets long just sitting around here wondering what is the next step. And so they all went out and they fished all night long and they were coming into shore in the morning. When suddenly there was a voice that came from the shore, a man was saying out, how was the fishing? We didn't get anything. Cast your nets on the other side of the boat and you'll get fish. Now this was contrary to all fishing rules, but they did it, and they caught fish, 154, I believe, and the nets were tearing it, took many to carry all the fish to shore. And when they got there, they saw that it was Jesus, whose voice they had heard, "Cast your nets on the other side." Our Lord said, "Well, let's have breakfast." And so they took some of the fish, prepared it, and they sat there and ate together. He broke the bread and gave it to them. And then finally, when all was settled down and quiet, it was Jesus who turned to Peter and said, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" And Peter replied, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." What was he doing? He was saying, "Do you love me, Peter, more than these?" Remember that night when Jesus said they were all going to scatter and they wouldn't be around him? It was Peter who came up and said, "Lord, they may all leave you, but I won't go," inferring that he loved Jesus a bit more than the others. Now the question is put before him. There is the power of the law. "Peter, do you still really love me more than these?" Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He didn't add "more than these." "You know that I love you." And then I think that it must have gone along a little while, and he said to him again, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" And Peter replied, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And then again a third time, and this hurt Peter, when Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, I love you." And then it was that Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And finally these words, "Peter, follow me." When Jesus said those words, they entered into Peter's heart. He had been forgiven. No more did he have to think about that terrible experience there in Herod's courtyard. No longer did he have to say, "Well, I scattered like all the rest of them. I am a sinner. I am a forgiven sinner." It could very well be that someone had said to him later years, "But weren't you the one who decided to leave him too? And you said you wouldn't leave him?" And Peter could have raised his head and said, "Yes, I am a sinner. But I am a forgiven sinner." Now notice here, first our Lord used the law, confronting Peter with what he had done and making him say he had failed. That was sin. But he doesn't leave him there. Then he turns around and says, "But because you confess your sins and you have placed your faith in me, I declare unto you, Peter, the forgiveness of all of your sins. Now go and claim your forgiveness and be my servant by following me." Many people have had that same experience. The writer of the great hymn that we will conclude our service with today, "Rock of Ages," said it so well. "Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That's the only place that I can go. For without forgiveness there is no relationship with Christ. But in Christ Jesus we walk with God day by day." So that when we hear Jesus say, "I forgive you, now come and follow me," then we ought to claim, that's the word, claim that forgiveness. The guilt is gone. Don't wallow in it anymore. It is gone. It has been paid for by Jesus through his sacrificial death on the cross. And we, by receiving him, have the assurance that it is out of our lives. Not that we will not continue to sin, but here is that God with that ongoing love and that ongoing forgiveness, and telling us to enjoy it. I am a sinner, but I am a forgiven sinner, And that makes a great deal of difference. You see, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And this world that is burdened with all of this guilt doesn't know very much about the grace of God, that unearned favor with God, based upon the sacrificial suffering, death, and resurrection, and becoming ours when we have confessed and turned in trust to that Savior. You know, friend, the thing that I'm anxious also to talk with you about today is this whole idea of really claiming our forgiveness. For as I examine my own life, I realize how often I have not claimed that forgiveness. I have learned from the Scriptures, and I believe it in my heart, that Christ has atoned for my sin. But somehow or rather, that just goes around in my heart, and why did I ever do it? Why did I do it? Let me tell you two or three examples of this. I have a dear friend who lost her husband in their married life together. He died. She had been, according to her husband, a marvelous wife. She cared for him. She showed her love for him. She adored him. And now he was gone. And one day I said to her, "You were a good wife." And she said, "No, I was a poor wife." She began to expound some of the things that she had not done, things that I would have called quite menial. Sort of living like this as husband and wife. But it was pretty important to her. She was tormented by it. And at a later date, she said, I wasn't a very good wife. And I said to her, "You know, you told me that some time ago. I personally don't believe it's true. And I don't think your husband went to his grave feeling that it was true. You were a good wife. But let's say now that you weren't. Say that there were so many of these things that bugged you that you'd like to be able to take back, but you can't. I know that you're a praying woman. I know that you have asked the Lord Jesus to forgive you whatever these wrongs were. And you know what he has said? If you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you. That you do know that Christ died on a cross for you. That is your faith. Now, why don't you go the next step and just begin to enjoy your forgiveness?" Are you getting it clear, friend? There is so much confusion about forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean that just God is going to automatically forgive you regardless and you can keep right on going the way you want to. There's no place in the Bible that it says that. Forgiveness doesn't mean that we think that everybody is going to be saved because God loves us all. There's no place in the Bible that says that. But the Bible very clearly says, and take a look at Peter. Peter had him right in the palm of his hands. "Peter, and now he's using the law, do you really love me more than these?" Can't you see what he's trying to do? He's trying to bring this man to see his inadequacy, that he could not forgive himself, that God would not forgive him if he did not confess that sin, if he was going on his jolly old way and continually denied Christ, then there would be no forgiveness. But he was taking him further and further into his guilt. until he could announce to him, "Feed my sheep, Peter, come and follow me." And Peter became a new man in claiming that forgiveness and was willing to go anywhere and speak to any people about Jesus Christ, even if it meant his death. And that's what it did mean. That's the message that Jesus wants us to have today. If you confess your sins, I'll forgive you, because I came to die for you. That's the gospel. And that's what he wants us to enjoy. That's how he wants us to live. This is to be the motivating power of our whole life. And that was God's relationship with man from the very beginning, and finally made clear in the coming of Jesus Christ. If we turn back to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18, the people of the Old Testament lived not with the details that we have in the New Testament era, but they certainly lived with this. "Come now, let us reason together," the prophet says. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool." He was trying to get pictures with words, simply to show how they could be forgiven. Forgiven all the sins that they had committed out there in the wilderness. How they rebelled against God and how they worshiped Baal and all the other bad things as far as God was concerned. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool." That's the gospel in the Old Testament. Another verse from Isaiah 55. "Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." God is anxious to forgive you. We live in a world that is living, as we mentioned, with a lot of guilt. And they don't know how it's going to be forgiven. That is a very, very pathetic situation. Not knowing how to get out of some terrible situation you are in. It comes, my friend, this way. It comes when you are told that Jesus did it all. That's the good news that I want to share with you today. If you are repentant and you have faith in Christ, you are forgiven. Now, because it comes from God, claim your forgiveness and rejoice in it. Amen. Lord Jesus, we pray that your word may be central in our lives. Help us to understand that therein is found the answers to the crucial questions of life. Certainly the whole matter of forgiveness and the promise of life with you while we walk here and for all eternity. Today, Lord, we pray in a very special way for our nation, for our country, and those who have been placed in authority over us. Grant that we may be able to understand as a people that there is such a thing as confession. Lift us out of our confusion and give us a grace to admit where we are wrong. And then, Lord, fill our leadership with inspired thoughts to lead us in the way that you would have us go. Thanks for all that you have given to us as a people, and grant, O God, that we may be faithful to it. Be with those who are sick, dying, comfort them. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that today's sermon will provide you with a firm foundation for the week ahead. Spring is a wonderful time to renew your commitment to the causes and organizations you support. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry fully funded by gifts from our generous listeners. By contributing to this ministry, you are helping to bring the gospel message to thousands of listeners across the country who may not have the opportunity to hear it otherwise. Now, if you can, please consider a tax-deductible donation to Christian Crusaders. Please direct all gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. For your convenience, we also are able to accept credit card donations over the phone. Call toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to hear it again, you can log on to our website at christiancrusaders.org. This program, along with hundreds of others, is available to be read or heard online anytime. Besides our sermon archives, you can also enjoy a daily devotion, faith links, informational slideshows, an online store, and more. That address again is christiancrusaders.org. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. Again, that's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 74th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.